Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
One of the most popular hymns in Protestant, Evangelical, Catholic churches that you've heard. It's sung at reconciliation services. It's sung at funerals. Every time we have the Gospel of the Prodigal Son, it's sung. Less popular, though, is people's knowledge of the real story behind Amazing Grace. Was actually written by John Newton. He wasn't always a poet. He always wasn't an ordained clergy. He was actually a slave trader. During his 1748 voyage, a destructive storm hit the ship. There were about 2,000 slaves in that ship. And when he saw that the ship, along with everybody on board and himself, were to perish, for the first time he cried out for God's mercy. Miraculously, the storm spared the ship. And this began a process of conversion that ultimately led John Newton to become an abolitionist. Just before his death, he was fortunate enough to see the abolition of the African slave trade in the United Kingdom. Folks, today's scripture readings prompted me to begin my homily with John Newton's story, the story of his conversion from slavery and then finally becoming an abolitionist. Because wealth, money, greed can make people do terrible things. So here are my 3 points for us today. First of all, there are 3 reasons for which I began my homily with the story of John Newton. First of all, the reading from Amos. Amos preached almost 2,300 years before John Newton. God appointed him to be a prophet to speak against every kind of oppression. In today's first reading, he preaches against the oppressors who say to themselves, "We will buy the lowly for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals." The wealthy and the powerful in Amos's time were buying and selling people. Does that sound like slavery to you? The second reason that I'm preaching this homily is because there is an anniversary that is being passed off without much attention in our nation. 2019 is the 400th anniversary of the arrival of the first African slaves to the United States. This is the 400th anniversary. 20 slaves came on August the 16th, 1619, in the British colony of Virginia. The rest is history, of course. The third reason I begin with the story of John Newton and oppression is that God has something to say about oppression. This is the most compelling reason why I chose with that story. God has something to say about oppression. This is what God says in today's first reading. Hear this, you who trample upon the needy and destroy the poor in the land. And the reading ends with the words, never will I forget a thing they have done. Our God is a God of the poor. Secondly, John Newton's conversion was very slow. He did not stop slave trading immediately. Although he continued to work in the slave trade for a few more years, he began to develop sympathy for the slaves. It was not until 1754 that he gave up slave trading. Soon afterwards, he studied theology and became an ordained Anglican minister. And it was then that he wrote Amazing Grace. By the way, the tune that it is set to happened much later. He wrote it as a poem. It's then that he wrote that poem. He finally realized, no servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Folks, the entire slave trade was about economics. What will people not do for wealth? For money? 400 years of slave history in our nation. The steward in the gospel reading betrayed the master's trust for wealth, for security. He manipulated the accounts and even made the vulnerable debtors to be dishonest. A debtor owed 100 cores of wheat. He made the debtor, the vulnerable debtor, sit down and write 50. What will people not do for money? So today, Jesus is making us evaluate our relationship with mammon. Do we control mammon? Or does mammon control us? Here's the deal. Our relationship with wealth has much to do with salvation. And that's the real point of the story. That how we relate with wealth is a question of eternity. It affects our salvation. And that is why Jesus says, if therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with real wealth? And thirdly, I want to talk about today. So whether it is forced labor in poorer countries, child laborers, or human trafficking, and Dayton is in the midst of human trafficking. It's a form of slavery, huh? This human trafficking. I read in the news just this afternoon that yesterday about 100 people have been arrested right here because they were trying to lure underage people into sex. One of them is a youth minister in a church. One of them is this is crazy. Our city is in the midst of human trafficking. So whether it is forced labor or child laborers or human trafficking, the value of the human person continues to be reduced to a pair of sandals, like in Amos's time. And besides all this, the economic woes that our families have to endure is brutal. We have families in our parish, and I talk to a lot of them. We have families in a parish who are one sickness away from debt and bankruptcy. We have families in our parish who are one mortgage away from financial ruin. We have families in the parish who have to work two or more jobs to make ends meet. We have many single parents in our families who live paycheck to paycheck. Healthcare is not easy to maintain these days. For many people, unemployment and homelessness are real possibilities. And this is not always because people do not work hard. Often the odds are stacked against the poor and the middle class. There is something wrong when the top 1% of households owns more than the wealth of the bottom 90% combined. Something wrong with that scene. And I think God is saying the same thing that God said through Amos almost 3,000 years ago. Hear this, you who trample upon the needy and destroy the poor of the land. Never will I forget a thing they have done. And then you have Jesus. Owned nothing, and yet today the world bows at his feet. It's a different way of looking at life. It's a different way of looking at what truly matters. He gave us his all. He did not try to serve God and mammon. He served God. And he served us. Let us pray that as we worship this God, that we can be trustworthy with what God has given us, so that we may be entrusted with eternity itself. People of God said,